This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
Oh, I don't really know why I'm still doing this. I ain't got nothing to say. Hi, Rhapsody.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready.
I feel like Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
I just wanna make it vibrate. I'm a killer whale, I told you that these niggas live bait. I just wanna smoke so my eyes are dilate. And I told you I'm at peace, so who dare violate? I'm the alpha wolf, who should I annihilate? Everybody is a goat, end up on a dice plate. I told you that I spit in a liar's face. I heard you got fire, end up in my fireplace.
Ghost nigga. Nah, I love that news. I'm so glad I found that one on Tidal the other day. I gotta remember all these streaming services. Yeah, Tidal is the one I fuck with. Remember that. Tidal. All right, anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society. And thank you for tuning in and listening to me ramble on for another show. Man, I do want to try to do a serious topic today. Hold on. Getting to be the end of the year. And I've had some, like, you know, major... I don't know. I guess I've stepped over a couple major hurdles recently, and moving into a different phase of my recovery. So I got some things I want to talk about and celebrate and that kind of stuff. And then I don't know. Yeah, I'm gonna do a shot in the dark kind of thing. Like, I've been wanting to do this for a while, but wasn't sure if I should or whatever. But before I get into the serious stuff, I do want to get some evil out, because there are some things that happened this week that have really perplexed me. One, I was at work, so we had the little work potluck, like luncheon type thing. And then after that's done, you know, those leftovers like linger for a couple of days. So we had the potluck like on Tuesday or something like that. And then, you know, for the rest of the week, it was just like stuff in the break room. So I'm heading out the other day. I'm at work. I'm heading out for lunch. And I pass through the break room. And there's like little gift baggies of treats, you know, that one of my wonderful coworkers put together for us. And so, I'm hungry. I ain't really trying to spend no money on lunch. So I was going to see what I could get out of these leftovers, you know, to tie me over. So I look at these gift baggies. And I swear to God, they was Fritos dipped in chocolate. Like half of the Frito dipped in chocolate. Now, I don't know if this is a thing that I just wasn't aware of, or if it's a delicacy to some of you, but y'all got to stop. Really, stop. Stop trying to just invent some new treat, some new something. Like, these was legit. And I know what a Frito looked like. They the only, like, curved, scoopy chip. Like, they weren't, like, just regular corn chips dipped in chocolate. These was Fritos. Somebody, honest to God, bought a bag of Fritos. And it took the time to hand dip these things in chocolate. And as commendable as that is, that you took the time to do that, it's fucking gross. I wasn't even going to try it. I was perplexed. Like, that's like raisins in the potato salad. Like, why are you dipping Fritos in chocolate? Like, was it dark chocolate? People, stop. Just stop. That's all I want to say about that. The other thing, I do want to commend one of my other coworkers, because they caught me in a moment and they was real with me. I was listening to some people talk about something, and I really thought that I was sitting there. This was during the holiday brunch luncheon. I really thought I was sitting there giving them the, oh, that's so interesting face. Like, I was, you know, I was zoned out. I was in my own world, but they was talking. They was having a conversation. I think it had something to do with paint. And I really thought I was, like, looking intently as if, yes, tell me more. This is very interesting. And just in the middle of the conversation, another coworker looks over at me and just burst out laughing. And she's like, you know, your face says what I'm thinking, which was basically, the fuck are y'all talking about? Like, but I really thought I was giving them the, man, like, that's the kind of paint and you dabbed it? Oh, word? For real? That's how you do it? Like, that's the face I thought I was giving them, but I must have been giving them the, is this a real subject? Are you still talking about paint face? Like, so I appreciate my coworker for being a real one and pointing it out so that, you know, 2 weeks from now when them two coworkers don't speak to me no more because I obviously shitted on their paint hobbies, I know why. Because I can't control my face. Sorry, people, I can't. I try, but I can't. What else we got? Ah, there was something else I wanted to mention. Oh, I know what it was. All right, this is another pet peeve of mine. And I see this becoming a trend, so speak on it before it goes any further. All right, so I'm going through my email or whatever at work. I'm chilling, and I see this. I get an email about like a mashup mixtape. I don't know who it was. I think it was like Al Green and Mos Def or something. And I love those little mashup mixtapes. So, you know, I'll normally go like, yeah, I wanna hear that. And so I go and it's like, you know, it's just a download button. It's not a buy button. It's a download button. So I'm like, bet. I will download that. Not a problem. So I go to download it. And then it asks me, you know, how much do I want to pay for it? Now, I'm good with paying for things. I'm not out there trying to say I'm avoiding paying for things. If you put your heart and soul into something and you made some art, I would like to compensate you for that. But don't make me be the asshole that says I want it for free if that's an option. Like, if there's an option for free, I want the free option. I'm not saying I don't think it's worth anything, but if I can get it for free, I want it for free. I'm broke. I don't have money like that. I want entertainment, and if I can get some free entertainment, that's the direction I want to go in. So either make it free or tell me how much it costs, but don't put the shit on me to have to tell you, nah, bro, I don't want to pay you anything for this. What up? How much do I think it's worth? If I say zero, do I get it for free? Okay, then it's worth nothing. Like, you made me say that, and I didn't want to say that. I just wanted to jam out to some Al Green and Mos Def, but you turned it into, I got to tell you I want it for free. That kind of grinds my gears. Hold on, let's get back to the styles joint to rejuvenate me.
I just want to make it vibrate.
All right, yeah, I'm loving that song right now. I'm loving that. That's my new shit right there. Styles P has been putting out some dope music for like, yeah, just dropping album after album. Like, I know who Styles is and I'm a fan, but like, I usually have no idea he put out an album until like three albums later. And I just have all this music to catch up on. But I don't know when that came out. It just snuck up on me, but that's my shit right now. All right, anyway, let's see. All right, so this is what I really wanted to talk about, and I'm gonna be as brief as I possibly can because I know I get to rambling. One of the things when I went to college for this whole semester that I did, my first class was an English class, creative writing, I think. And what they explained to us in creative writing was there were two goals. It was either to make the familiar strange or the strange familiar. And a theme that's been coming across in my life for the last week or so has been a need for me to try to make the strange familiar. So I'm sure anybody who's listened to more than one or two episodes of this podcast knows that I'm a recovered alcoholic. I'm in recovery right now. Was in rehab early this year from like April to May. March, April, May, something like that. And, have been out since May, living in a sober home, trying to get myself back to normal, I guess. I don't know, whatever normal is. Recently, so I'm about 10 months in on my sobriety this time around. It'll be 11 months in January, so I'm closing in on that year, which would be a huge milestone for me. I've done a year sober before, but I've never done a year sober working a program. And this time around, I really have been working the program, you know, and putting my all into this. And I see a difference. A milestone I crossed recently is I completed my 12th step. So that's big for me, is that I made it through all 12 steps. Man, and it's not like the 12th step is a finish line. There are steps that are maintenance steps. There are steps that I'm gonna have to do and think about and consider every day for the rest of my life. And part of the 12th step is carrying on the message to other people who suffer. And so, that is something that's going to be a lifelong responsibility. And a lot of people go back through and do the steps periodically just to maintain their sobriety. But, having finished my 12th step, I'm now in a position where, it's, like I said, I'm supposed to carry on the message. I'm supposed to, give away what I've been given in order to keep it. And now I need to, start raising my hand and putting myself out there as someone who'd be willing to help another person get through these steps and start their journey of recovery. And so, they say you don't really know something until you can explain it to somebody else, or you can explain it to a 4-year-old or whatever like that, or until you can really dumb it down to the simplest of concepts. And that's one of the things I want to try to do today, because this week and everything I've been doing recovery related has been this reminder that the world, or people who don't suffer from what addicts and alcoholics suffer from, don't really understand it. And I don't know that you'll ever understand it. I don't know that it's possible, but I felt today that I should try to make the strange familiar and make my best attempt to kind of give you somewhat of an idea of what addiction is really like. I don't want people to think that that addicts are weak, or they just lack willpower, or it's some sort of moral deficiency within them that leads them down this road. Like, you just stop. Like, why can't you just not do it? Like, how do you wouldn't have stopped long before you end up homeless? Like, why would you let it go that far? That kind of stuff. So I'm going to try to, I do these weird bugged out metaphors. I did the whole God being a laundry basket thing a couple episodes back. Go check that out, my laundry theory. And today I want to try to give you the laundry theory version for addiction. So here we go. Hold on.
I just want to make it vibrate.
All right. So imagine having to pee, right? Imagine you need to use the bathroom. Imagine the feeling of really having to use the bathroom, at the point where you are holding it in and it has gotten physically painful. And it's so physically painful that right now, in that moment, the only thing on your mind is getting somewhere so that you can use the bathroom and relieve this pain. This is the number one need in your life right now. You're not thinking about eating. You're not thinking about sleeping. You're not thinking about how tired you are. You're not going to be able to go to sleep. You're not going to be able to enjoy no food. You're not going to be able to have sex. You're not going to be able to do any of the things in life that mean anything to you until you can handle this problem right here, right now. Now, imagine, if you will, that you feel like that all the time. Every waking moment of your life, you feel like you are at that point of needing to pee that is painful. And all you need is some relief from that pain. All you need is to be able to get somewhere so you can use the bathroom. And for a lot of people, it's just that simple. All I got to do, I need to pee, I feel that pain, I just got to use the bathroom. But for you, for some reason, it don't work that way. If you go to the bathroom, there's no relief. Nothing happens. you leave in the same pain you went in there with. And this goes on for so long. You being in this constant state of pain and the desire for relief. It goes on for so long that you forget feeling any other way. That this becomes your normal state. This becomes regular to you. This becomes life to you. You honestly don't understand that other people don't live in that pain. This becomes, you forget what it's like to not feel it. So it's just, it's almost expected. You know you're going to wake up. You know you're going to be in pain. You know you're going to go the whole day in pain. You've learned how to manage it or mitigate it to some extent. You learn how to try to focus on other things. Or you learn strategies to kind of allow you to exist. But it's exhausting. Like, it's work. You have to work every day. Every day you're working and you're thinking and you're trying to get yourself past this pain just to make it through the day. And you live like this for years. And then imagine one day you run across something, a pill, a potion, whatever you want to call it, a herb, I don't know. You run across something. And when you take that something, you get that relief. That first time, you get that relief of years of being in that state of pain. Of years of feeling like that. And all of a sudden, even if it's for 10, 15 minutes, for 15 minutes of your life, you don't feel like you gotta pee. For 15 minutes of your life, that pain, that pressure, that conscious thought of holding it in is gone. For 15 minutes. For 15 minutes, you feel or you remember or you think you remember what it's like to feel normal. And it's amazing to you. It's amazing. And when those 15 minutes are over, you're back to the pain. So now in your mind is how to get another 15 minutes. You imagine all the things you could get done in those 15 minutes. You can imagine the kind of how much better a person you could be if just that weight, that pain was lifted for 15 minutes. In those 15 minutes, you could be your true self because you wouldn't be so focused on that pain. And so you think about that. You want that. You want another 15 minutes. And it seems harmless enough at the time, so you get another 15 minutes. And the relief isn't as great as the last time because it's not however many years of pent up, pressure. It's whatever took place from the last time to this time. So you get relief, but it ain't the same relief. But it's still, again, you get 15 minutes where you don't feel like every moment is a struggle. So this goes on, you spacing out those 15 minutes every so often. Most of us try to find a pattern or a reason. We'll say, I did this, so I deserve 15 minutes. Or this happened, so I need 15 minutes to recover from it. And then it goes on like this. It goes on like this. You seeking out these 15 minutes. You're getting these 15 minutes here, there. To the point that the way your brain interprets the pain changes. That the pain that you've consistently been feeling throughout this entire time, you've only been granted these 15 minutes of relief where you don't feel it. It's still there. You just don't feel it for 15 minutes. But the way your brain starts interpreting that pain that's been there that whole time, it stops so much seeing it as pain, and it sees it as a need to go get another 15 minutes. So now, instead of your every waking moment being focused on that pain, even though it's still there, the way your mind is interpreting it is your every waking moment is focused on the next 15 minutes. And that's what can drive a person to go some of the places that I've been and do some of the things that I've done. It is not, when you look at the lives of people that are affected by this, I mean, you have to be able to say no sane person would make this choice. I know a lot of people look at it as a choice. It's just a choice, you know, just choose not to, or just say no, whatever, you know, rhetoric you want to throw in there. That's what it feels like to a lot of people, because you're able to make that choice. You're able to say, you know, I'm good. I had two. I'm good. I got enough of a buzz. I'm good. Nah, I'm not into that over there. Please put that pipe away. You know, you're able to say those kind of things. But to a person who's going through the situation I'm trying to describe, it's not a choice anymore. You know what the pain feels like. And you can't do that. Like, you did it for years, and then you found out you didn't have to do it. So you can't go back to, I have to do it. I can't do it. I did, the whole time I was doing it, I felt like I couldn't do it. I felt like I was going to, you know, I was going to fail at any moment. At some point, I wasn't going to be able to hold it. At some point, I was going to break. At some point, I was going to let go. At some point, it's all going to shatter. And every day was just, am I going to make it through this day? There is no choice to go back to that. All of a sudden, now you believe you found an answer, a solution. And so going back to the problem is not an option. It's not a choice. Nobody's choosing to go this far. But at this point, you're convinced. And this is what, you know, one of the things, one of the most important things I've learned in recovery so far. And it's an amazing concept for me. And it is that we are not our thoughts. We are not our mind. We are the awareness of our thoughts. We are the awareness of our existence, but we are not our thoughts. Your mind is a tool. Your mind is a survival tool. It's designed to, you know, seek out patterns and recognize danger and, you know, help you pursue your needs and your wants. You know, that's what your mind is there for. But you are not your mind. So as much as your mind can be a tool to help you survive, it can become your worst enemy. It can tell you, this is what we have to do. This is what we need to do. I feel like I've sat in rooms and debated my mind. And the whole time my mind is telling me, you're not going to win. You can't beat me. You know what we about to do. You know what we're going to do. You're wasting time. You know how this story is going to end. I'm going to win. I'm right. You're wrong. Give up so we can move on with our day. I've had these, like, almost out loud conversations with myself. I'm pretty sure I talked to myself a couple of times. I'm pretty sure I spoke to myself a couple of times. I feel like I've been in those cartoons with the angel and the devil on the shoulder, but it wasn't no angel. And all of this is because a person is in a tremendous amount of pain and didn't know how else to deal with it. Didn't know they even could deal with it until the wrong thing came along. Like I said, it gets to the point where you don't even realize that you don't feel good, because there's never been a good. There's just bad and not so bad. And you forget that those are even possibilities. Like, it's just, this is what it is. This is where the bar is now. This is my life. I wake up and I suffer through this every day until I go to sleep. And every day I wake up and I go to sleep is a win, regardless of the fact that I spent the whole day in excruciating pain. And so, you know, going to rehab and getting away from the thing I was using to help me not feel that pain, then I have to come face to face with the pain. Then it's here, it's in my face, and it's worse than ever. And in this situation, I have to decide, I have to, what I am choosing, the choice that I do get to make now, is the solution I use for the pain. I have to deal with the pain. We have to deal with our traumas. We have to deal with those things that drive us crazy, to keep us up at night, those memories that replay in our heads. We have to deal with those things, or they will manifest in your life in some way. And so if I get to make a choice these days, this choice on how to handle that pain, on how to deal with that pain. And the crazy thing in the program and what I'm learning and what is working for me, I'm not saying this is the solution, but what is working for me is the best way for me to deal with my pain, or to take my mind off my pain, which is really the only thing substances were doing before, is to help someone else. To get out of my thoughts, get out of my head, to leave my shit, you know, behind for a minute. Stop focusing and fixating on it and go find something else to do. Find something positive to do. Find something that's going to make me feel better about myself when I'm finished. Build a relationship. Be a friend. Just be of service. And I don't know. I'm hoping that somewhere in there, I gave you like a window in to what it's like. Nobody would choose to go down these roads. Nobody would choose this. Trust me, nobody is choosing it. They lost that choice a long time ago. And if you feel like you've lost that choice, there's hope. It's amazing the people that I run into who are in the same boat, you know, who suffer through the same things. The guy who just walked me through my 12 steps is an Olympian. This guy has a bronze medal. You can't be weak. You can't lack determination or self-control and be an Olympian. Those two things don't go together. That's not what this is about. But they are amazing people that deal with these things. Part of it, you know, if my delusions of grandeur want to say that in order for you to have a mind that allows you to see the world a little bit differently, so that you can show it to people differently or do things differently, because that's the way you stand out or you make art or you do all these things. You have to, you know what I'm saying? I think your worldview has to be a little bit off, a little bit skewed, a little bit off of norm. So you get to see and make connections that other people don't get to make. And I feel like in order for you to have that ability, you open some other doors and you can't always control what comes through those doors. Because when I look at the people that I see that, you know, suffer through some of the same things I suffer from, these are some amazing folk. And weakness is not a thing I see in there. You know, these aren't stupid people. These aren't bad people. These aren't morally deficient people. This isn't a... I was looking for a Trump metaphor that I'm not going to do. I'm not going to do it. What do they call it? The something full of degenerate, handful of degenerates or something like that? Those aren't the people that I'm around. Those aren't the people that I'm associating with and spending a lot of time with. I'm spending a lot of time with some talented, gifted, beautiful people. And they just seen some dark things and been in some dark places. But if you're in those places, there's help. There's definitely help. And I ain't gonna go no further than that. I think I'm gonna stop there. I'm hoping that my addiction is like having a pee metaphor hit home with somebody. Maybe it made sense to somebody out there. It came off way better than I thought it was going to come off. In my head, I was like, how the fuck am I going to pull this one off? But I feel like I did it justice. I hope I made the strains familiar. I hope you, I hope if nothing, you understand that you don't understand. How about that? Maybe you get it, but if you don't, just know that it's not what you think it is. And you might not want to look at that person that way. You don't want to get to know that person or try to help that person. But I don't, it's probably not what you think it is. Understand that you don't understand. If nothing. But, all right. So, with that said, end of the year is coming. I love you guys. I appreciate all the support. And I appreciate you giving me your time, letting me a piece of your day, listening to the bullshit that I have to say. As always, be safe, be the light. Remember, TT Charities, Black Millennials for Flint. Please, you know, support these organizations. Try to help the people, trying to help the people. Buy a t-shirt. Help me, help you. Am I helping? I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say. But anyway, I'm going to rock out. I'm going to keep it mellow this episode. One more time. All right, I'm going to keep it mellow this episode, and I'm going to rock out. This one is not new. This one is old, but it's another one of the songs I listen to kind of chill. You know, music is a big part of my therapy and my recovery. That is a way I deal with and mitigate pain. So, yeah, thanks for listening, and rock out with me for a bit. Peace.
Yeah. If I make it to heaven, I hope they still drinking, bro. I hope I get to see Nick. Me and him have a few. Talk about 96. The shit that y'all never knew.